The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. How are you? Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's that time of the morning that we discuss affairs of business, affairs of economics, politics, geo-economic impact, and everything that affects our bread and butter. Where are you this morning? Are you on your way to work? Are you still sleeping? What are you doing at the end of January? The year has not just started, it's not just begun, we are already deep into the year. And by the time you are awake, it's already June, July, and we are calling it the end of 2026. So that is why we are indicating that January is already coming to an end, and every day, every week, every month, we must march toward Vision 2030. It may look like it is not going to be as we expect, but we should not give up, because once we started giving up, we'll never achieve anything. Because if we set that goal as a nation, let us see where we are going to be. Ask yourself this question: how old are you going to be? Vision 2030. How old are you going to be by 2030? And what are you going to do within the course of 4 years when we are going to reach that 2030? But before we go to continental affairs and also the debate or the discussion for today, let us look at ShopRite, because they are saying you survive January, you can survive anything. ShopRite is here for you.
Shoprite e o vanego jetaro ke go bidiro po o na o limo fumbe o kene o dura ke mo yanuari o ino shironga mi pumbi o ngashi o kharamo matrega tano to kanzo pi komputa yo rama original ko dura mi ngom pali na heta tu no sendo bin ko wino wei ningo ke jin da tu do pora na elbow pasta ko dura mi ngo khamano no wino senda o mi ngo wino wei tare na pano Shoprite po pi pinango e dere pi ku sa January no funny sad thingy ziko si go gaheta tu ga February no vo Shoprite ko ndando dire pe vinto vuro ku ine kra.
Yeah, we are moving forward, and we are indicating to say, ask yourself this question: how old are you going to be? What have you done within the month of January that you are proud of? And a lot of people have been saying, me, new year. What are your plans? Did you change any of, your habits that you thought they were pulling you down, that you thought they were putting a distance between you and what you want to achieve? And the other thing is not only about, achievement in terms of tangible achievement. It can also be achievement in terms of self-fulfillment, and also achievement in terms of mental clarity, especially on what you do, what you need to do as a human being. Because what we need to understand is that we need to make sure that we are very clear of where we are coming from and where we are going. The fact that we are able to have a clear mind, that is already be able to tell you that if you have a well-functioning mind, very clear from stress and other things that can be avoided, then it's easier for you to move toward your goal. And you cannot move toward your goal without people. And the African proverb should always guide us to say, if you want to move far, let us go together. If you want to move fast, you need to go alone. But if you want to move fast, the question is that how fast you are going to move. Are you going to move fast for 5 minutes? Or are you going to move fast for 6 minutes? But what is needed is moving forward, and also change, fight poverty, inequality, unemployment, impact of climate change, and also, laziness. And those are the fights that we, and the very important fight that you see is the fight of fight against ignorance. And ignorance is a danger among not only the young people, adults too. We must not ignore. We must not be ignorant. We must understand how things are moving, which system we are connected to, who is benefiting from the system, and how can we maximize the benefit for ordinary people. And that should be what we expect to do, especially moving into 2026, because after January, everybody is very busy. Parliament is starting Tuesday. Everybody is now back to work. Some, you know, universities are starting. Registration is coming to an end, and it's going to be a very busy year. And by the time you realize, look at your calendar, it's already coming to the end of 2026. And one of the questions that a wise man is always asking is to say, What are you busy doing? You know that you can be, there's a difference between being busy and being productive. And are you busy doing nothing? Are you busy doing something? And there is quite a very big difference to say. Sometimes you are hard working at the wrong and moving toward the wrong direction. And you also need to go and ask yourself the question to say, I may be working very hard, but you are moving to a wrong direction. Ask yourself, because direction is very important than distance, because you may travel a long distance, but you are actually wrong. That is why you need to ask yourself that question, either at a personal level or at an institutional level. Also to ask to say, as a country, Namibia, moving toward 2030, are we working too hard toward the wrong direction as a country? Are we putting more efforts that are unproductive? Or we need to check our compass and looking at the direction where we are traveling into, in terms of lawmaking, in terms of the way we do business, in terms of interacting with the citizens, and also in terms of, intensifying our goal. You know, yesterday I was at Namibia Tourism Board. It was a short event, a workshop between stakeholders and under the project of Namibia Air Connect, especially regarding boosting of tourism, which was quite a very good engagement. And when you see private freight from Zambia coming to work together with Namibian tourism, which is quite a very beautiful thing. But one thing that came to my mind is also that when we are dealing at this level, when are we going to have our own airline again as a proud Namibia? And, something happened, the war on Twitter. This one lady whose name is not going to be mentioned, and people are saying, no, this lady is representing Namibia. There was a war on Twitter. It's exchanging of words. And although there was no insult, it was a bit of a fight. But one must also be proud to say, Namibians, so we must not shy away from defending our country. Either it's on social media, either it's anywhere. We must be able to protect ourselves, because I have seen few of our good friends from Nigeria ask a question to say, is Namibia, how did I show speed come to Namibia? Did Namibians having airports and all these things? And you see Namibians are really defending their country to say, and they are, you see the war on Twitter. But it's also a matter of patriotism to say, although we may be a small country, our good friend with a population of 2 million, we cannot also be bullied. But defending of your country is something that is not only about being patriotic, but also understanding that we are sharing also common pain. And also, if you insult one Namibian, then you also see the reaction. If you are destroying Namibian economy or Namibian image, you also see that everybody's an ambassador of the country. Then you realize to say, we love our country. We may be going through challenges, but home is home. And people are saying, no, give that lady a plot, give that lady a post. But it is quite very important also to defend your country. And also the reputation is necessary, especially in the world of social media. One word from a most influential person can disencourage 20,000 tourists to come to Namibia. But the way you present also your counter-argument, and must also be able to show that what is being stated is not true. and it's our responsibility to market our country. Once stories come to Namibia, it's not only about money, it's also about long-term connectivity, and also about the boosting of the economy. And most importantly, is how a person at the edge of the economic benefit will be able to benefit from changes in the Namibian economy. Do not forget that today the Villager newspaper is out like any other Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We will have to give you content and context of development, economic affairs, and do not miss out. So let us go to a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll be able to go to what is happening, especially in the continent of Africa. And we look at energy, and we'll be able to start with Total Energies, especially in Mozambique, and look at the business of oil. And we look at what's happening in the whole continent of Africa. Then we can look at the conversation for today. Do not forget that this is not a one-directed conversation. It's a conversation that you will be able to engage us, particularly in our conversation at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And do not forget that the communication, the conversation for today will be on Parliament. What is that we expect? You may draft your expectation. May present your expectation. What is that our parliamentarians need to do? And sometimes we must reach a conclusion. Apart from criticizing of what is not being done, we have to present what needs to be done. Because if you criticize what is not being done for the whole 5 years, you may also not be doing justice to yourself, because you'll be a complainant until the kingdom come. But presenting practical solutions and also assisting those who need assistance, because the success of Namibian Parliament is the success of all Namibians, because that is the highest institution of the state, and is the only institution at any point in time where the voices of ordinary Namibians are represented. And you also look a little bit in history, that the establishment of parliament in the world, particularly the oldest parliament, the British parliament there, especially when the country realized to say, the state is too big for us to have just a monarch, and we need to transform the king's council to parliament. And there was a lot of bloodshed before the formation of democratic institutions. And I remember at one point Professor Dubisani was giving a presentation and said, no, you guys, Africans are good. Africans did not really, terrorize themselves like what we are seeing, like what is being presented. Go and read the history of England. Go and read the history of the war between Parliament and the king. You realize to say there was even a point where King Charles or the first have to be executed, public execution. People have to cut off his head, and it was brutal. But you need to realize that why people were fighting for that. People were fighting because they realized to say, for you to run a bigger institution, at some point you need the voices of the people, those who are called the commoners, to be able to give consent, particularly in critical decisions that affect not only bread and butter, but the safety, the trade, the military, and also, infrastructure development of the state. So let us look at the short commercial break. Then we'll look at what we have, particularly with continental news.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Same. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi todaya njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onoreta tuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe.
Spend less and get more with budget beaters at WB. Get a 2-liter Rietfontein juice for only $36.99. 5 kg nice rice for just $87.99. 4 kg Kadila chicken portions for $189.99. And 2 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for only $57.99. See more month-end specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the I.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 31 minutes past the hour of 6, and you are listening to your morning economic and developmental conversation with me, David Chombe. And remember, we are here until the hour of 8 in the morning. And let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. What is happening in the continent of Africa? It was stated that Total Energies relaunched $20 billion in Mozambique gas project 5 years after jihadist attack. And, it looks like Mozambique is getting its feedback, especially when international company is coming back after jihadist attack and with an investment of $20 billion. And it's a quite a positive development that is happening in Mozambique, especially when it comes to the usage of gas. Remember that Mozambique is not just an ordinary African country. It's a country with rare resources too, apart from natural gas. It's also a country with minerals And it has attracted international companies when it comes to the likes of Total Energies and also companies from Australia. However, the security of Mozambique has been deteriorating, not only because of the jihadist which has found its way to Southern Africa. And these are one of the most dangerous terrorist, Islamic terrorist particularly, with religious backing and with their belief in Sharia law and using religion as a forefront of war and want to change the status quo. When you look at what happened in Nigeria, what happened in Burkina Faso, what's happening in Mali, in Togo, and now in Mozambique, it stated that 5 years after they closed their operation, they declared that, you know, they will be able to reopen, with that investment. And in 2021, after jihadist attack in the northern Cabo Delgado province, it's killed around 800 people. And Total Energy now is asking also the Mozambique government for 4.5 billion in cost of overruns linked to delay. However, it stated that there is a comeback. There is a comeback of this company. And with a new project, it's expected to generate thousands of jobs, reportedly the largest private investment in African energy infrastructure, which has already employed 4,000 people, and 80% of them are Mozambique nationals. And it's also a lesson to learn to say what will happen to in Namibia, because Total Energy is also here. Maybe we are also going to be lucky to work in that industry of oil and gas, where 80% of the working force are Namibians. But what I have observed through this oil and gas, I also realized to say Mozambicans, they have capacity, especially in terms of oil and gas, particularly educated nationals of Mozambique. I remember I was having one conversation with one guy. He came to attend the UN conference last year here from Mozambique, and he's an engineer in oil and gas. And it's not only him, he's telling you a lot about the capacity and the ability of Mozambicans on how they deal with their infrastructure and also how they utilize their resources. And the oil business, it's a very lucrative business, especially if it's handled very well. I was reading yesterday about Aramco, one of the biggest oil companies, which is 100% owned by the Saudis or Saudi Arabian government. And the history of Aramco, let's be able to tell you that when it came to Saudi in the 20th century, be able to see that it came with almost 100%, but when it left, itself there in Saudi. And one of the things I have also learned, particularly from the guys in the Middle East, the oil kings, what they did very well is their ability to negotiate. And they also have patience. You look at the prince and the kings of Saudi Arabia, the history of how they dealt with the business of oil is not their ability to rush into things. And they can beat you in negotiation, because with them, they are not in the rush. They can even negotiate with you for 20 years. I remember reading some text which is indicating that there was a point where the US government, particularly with Aramco, did not want to give 50% shares to the Saudi Arabian government. But there was a negotiation which took the whole 1 month, until to the point that you know, they have to give in. And that is telling you to say, once we have a leverage, particularly with natural resources, you don't need to rush to say to make enough cash. But you need to see in terms of long term. Because there was even a point that Saudi Arabia wanted to collapse the whole global trade of oil, because they were realizing that their good friends, the US, were not playing to their terms. But now as we are speaking, the Saudi own around 98% of Aramco shares. And there was a point even they own 100%, but they realized to say they have to diversify. They have to make sure that they play it well too. But moving from 2% to 100% ownership, especially when it's coming to the ownership of your resources, is quite very important. But maybe it's also something that Namibians should learn. To say, once you own resources, moving toward ownership should be a long term. You should not only complaining about owning 3% or 5% in various mines and all these things, but looking at long term, how is the process? Because the 20 years or 30 years existence must also tell you that you have capacity, you have energy, and you have technical skills. And what is very interesting is also that when I read that the history of Aramco in Saudi Arabia, they were too patient enough, even to the point when they reached the point of acquiring 100% of the shares from the ownership of Aramco company. What they did, they made sure that although we have 100% of the shares, we still need to keep this one of the US CEO for quite a very long time, because we don't have capacity, so that we train our own, which is quite rare. Because in Namibia, once you own something, you want to be seen being there. You want to be seen being the head. But what happened is that they made sure that they train their people while they keep that, to say, yes, we are 100% owners of this one, but we don't really understand the business of oil. Give us, your CEO must remain, the chief operation must remain, why you are training ours. That is why the wealth of Saudi Arabia, the same wealth with Oman, Qatar, is unimaginable, because what they did is their patience and their ability to look long term, not 5 years plan, but 20 to 30 years. And not only to say, I'm only going to plant the tree that I will enjoy its fruits, or I'll be enjoying its shelter, but looking at the generation where they are. But that is exactly what needs to be done. But when you look at Africa, did it happen? I don't think so. Did it happen in terms of ownership of resources? Did we learn to that extent we can be able to operate our own? You can even ask DRC. Because with DRC, their operations has been in the mining sector. They have been there for a very long time. Either it's oil, either it's rubber, everything that you can imagine. But the question is that, did they reach a point where they can own even one mine on their own, 100%? Did they come to that point yet? Are they thinking long term? Are they also teaching us Africans something? But those are the conversation that should not only be looked at from far, but you also need to look at this conversation even from home, to say, what is our long-term plan of ownership of our resources, without compromising our peace, and also without not really to say being apologetic, but without disrupting and also respecting those who identify those resources, and find a way of owning the means of production, not only to be and the French, they call it petite bourgeoisie, to say, yes, I'm a bourgeoisie, but not really. I own the means of production, but not really. I'm there in the middle. But the history of economic emancipation should continue, especially in a civilized manner. But let's see if that is going to happen moving forward. Now, looking at Ethiopia, it stated that flight from capital of Tigray cancelled as tension mount. And, you know, Tigray fighters, it's like they want to get into war again with Ethiopia. And this conflict, we thought it was coming to an end, but it's also disrupting the business and operation of Ethiopia. And I understand that Ethiopia airline is the biggest airline in Africa. And they just proposed or bought around 200 planes to boost their continental and international flights. And looking at this aspect, it seems like the Horn of Africa, the Horn of Africa is not seeing peace yet. Stated that as fear of return to conflict mount in Ethiopia, passengers flights between capital and cities in northern Tigray region have been halted. Ethiopia Airlines cited unplanned circumstances for cancellations. For a moment, there has been no official statement yet from companies explaining the move. And it comes as peace deal agreed for 4 years ago has been thrown into jeopardy. Extension mount of disputed territory ahead of elections this summer. And there have been reports of fighting between the federal army and Tigray fighters in western Tigray. They are also said to have been new military movements in southern Tigray. And if we cannot have diplomacy in Ethiopia, then it's the collapse of continental diplomacy. Because remember, Ethiopia, of all the countries in Africa, it was supposed to be the most peaceful country in the continent, because that is the headquarters of African Union, and that is the center. And if Africans cannot protect Ethiopia, then it will be the end of it. It will be the end of it. Even the African Union Commission, is responsible for the operation of the African Union at large. The collapse of Ethiopia to be the end of it. And how are we going to solve our conflict if the fight is at the center? In the same way, because one of the reasons that we are not seeing, and I'm not saying it's the entire reason, we are not seeing the full functioning of SADC now. So the fact that the legitimate chair of SADC kept quiet, and somebody may also ask to say, what happened to Andry Rajoelina, the president of Madagascar, after he was airlifted to France due to the protests of Generation Z, Obama 2000, in Madagascar? What really happened? And what is happening really with the effectiveness of SADC? Because after that, you never heard of SADC really, although there have been meetings. Never really heard of SADC. And once there is conflict in the headquarter, then it's quite difficult. When there is conflict at the head, then the tail will suffer. But that is what's happening. But Ethiopia is not only the headquarter of Africa. It's also a strategic economic hub, especially in terms of traveling, in terms of airline, in terms of also energy, because Ethiopia built one of the biggest dam in Africa, the Renaissance Dam, to generate electricity and also to power its energy. And you also need to remember that in terms of diplomacy, the first trip of the Chinese foreign minister was in Ethiopia. And Ethiopia being at the center of global economic diplomacy, once there is conflict, once peace is not found, then we have a long journey to go. And let us hope Prime Minister Abed will be able to solve this conflict, because if you look a few years ago, Because for the first time you see a prime minister wearing the camouflage, not only wearing the camouflage and commanding for publicity, but was at the front line, giving people morale. But we see how things are going to turn out, because if there's no peace at the headquarters, then it's going to be very difficult, actually, to have peace anyway. And yeah, the other thing, I think, which is happening is also that United States of America and African Union, they signed an agreement of cooperation, particularly in terms of infrastructure development, and also working together in terms of critical minerals. They have signed an agreement, and the U.S. Deputy Secretary of the State, that is Christopher Randau, traveled to Africa and met with the chairperson of AU Commission and speak on cooperation between African Union and also United States of America. And, you know, you really look at the joint statement between United States of America and AU. And one thing that you need to understand is also that apart from global conflicts and global tensions, the fight of diplomacy, the war of civilized men and women in suits will not end. And you also ask yourself to say, is African Union, is Africa awake too? Are we winning this game of diplomacy? Because at one point we say, we must work with the Eastern, we must work with the Western, we must work with everyone. At one point we were complaining about AGOA not extended. Then, you know, the House of Representatives just passed the renewal of AGOA with the majority of the votes. And at one point we were speaking about the USAID pulled out, and US is not on our side. Now this is the game. The Deputy Secretary of State is here. And there is also a joint commission that was established, especially what is known as a Strategic Infrastructure and Investment Working Group, to promote advanced U.S.-Africa economic partnership that create jobs, prosperity, and economic security, both in America and across Africa. And I remember at one point that the France was discussing to say, you know, Africa, it's like a child with a stocky, with a lollipop, and everybody can come and take a piece. But you also need to find a direction to say it's good to work together with everybody, but it's also good to understand that at the end of the day, those who are working together with us, they are also pushing their interests. But we must also learn to say we are a continent, we are not a country. We're a continent, but we must be able to look beyond what is being stated, to say we build relationships, we build agreements. Because remember, US have a relationship with AU. AU has a relationship with China. AU has a relationship with Japan. AU has a relationship with Russia. AU has a relationship with EU. And AU can go even to a country through an invitation as a whole continent. And there was a point one analyst to say, Neman, how come all 52 or 54 African head of state go and meet one president instead of the other way around? But, you know, we also understand there are levels in terms of the economy. But in diplomacy, you also need to work with what you have. But in that aspect, we must also see the materialization of this to say, is this a real deal or it's not a real deal? Because if it's not a real deal, poverty will not end. Agreements do not solve problems. Real practical projects are the ones which are solving problems. And looking at the statistics, it seems like the The more we enter into agreement, the more troubles we get into. And you're asking yourself, what is really going wrong? Or maybe it's us who do not understand what we are getting into. But it's the wish of everybody to see that this joint agreement should materialize, especially when it comes to reaching of its intended objective. So it's 52 minutes past the hour of 6. Let us look at our conversation, especially when you are looking at our expectation. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, how are you?
I'm better than yesterday. How are you, sir?
No, it's very good to hear. Me too, I'm better than yesterday.
That's great.
Yes. What is your contribution?
I haven't listened to Eagle FM for some time, and I just tried to call in now.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Hendrix. I'm calling from Katima Molilo.
Okay.
Yeah, which is in the Zambezi region.
Mm-hmm. The mighty Zambezi region.
The mighty one, of course. Yes.
Oh, okay. Look, when we have a problem with frequency, what we do is that we have an alternative. Are you able not to download the Eagle FM app?
My dear, I'm using a very, very simplest phone ever.
Oh.
My smartphone got damaged.
Oh, okay. No, thank you for calling and showing the interest. And I think that issue will be sorted out soon, if not later. It will be sorted out. And in the absence of the frequency, please try to look at, because what we also do apart from communication through the radio, we also have online presence where we podcast what we discuss. If you miss a conversation, we always present the links. But that concern is really heard, and thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. But you are on air. You can also be able to contribute so that other people may also hear your contribution, because today we are speaking about what do we expect anew from 2026 Parliament, because as a citizen, you might also have your expectation to say, either in terms of debate or the work that they do, are you satisfied or you expect something new, especially in 2026?
Yeah, of course, I have a little contribution.
Yeah.
Though I wasn't ready, I didn't listen to the topic of discussion of today, but I'm very happy that you are introducing it to me now.
Yeah.
Of course, and yeah, the expectation that we are looking onto, especially in the Zambezi region, is that of seeing a new infrastructure on the presence of the budget that was announced for renewing the town, especially. At that side of the outskirts, where the road has been submerging, so that people can really understand and feel the betterment of casting their votes for the particular councillor residing in their respective constituency. Of the fact that people should really be satisfied. We know if you cast a vote for someone, does not necessarily mean that you have to live out of his personal income. The beneficiation that you find from that particular person as a community work that he or she provides to typically mean that you are benefiting from what you cast the vote for. Yes, Katima Mlilo is a town that has been seen as a hub of 4 to 5 states, whereby we can mention Angola, Zambia, South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, we can even call Swaziland there, which is known as Tswana today. So it's supposed not to be a disappointing region. We look at people who we are looking at people we cast votes for, as the think tank for our development. For us, we only contribute towards the issue that we see are of much importance to us, and for them is to implement as long the budget has been availed. So infrastructure is too much problematic here, I'm telling you.
Okay, okay.
Yes, it's too much problematic. Roads are slippery. Some roads are submerging. We have no access to our places, especially if we catch a taxi from our suburban areas. From our suburban areas to the central business district itself, you have to walk from the house to the main road. And main roads as well are also consisting potholes, which need some timely repair and renovation. Of which these roads hasn't repaired or renovated on time because rain also took its own stand to disturb people right here. I can't really complain of the rain because it's a natural disaster.
But what is your view when statistics are indicating that we have best roads in Africa? We are number one. It's not in Zambezi.
Not in Zambezi.
Okay.
It might be just a mere report. Maybe the other region. Maybe other region.
Okay.
But not in Zambezi.
Okay. Now I want you to give a message to our parliamentarians across the board, whether you voted him or you did not vote him, because when they go to parliament, whether they are going to national council or they go to national assembly, they are our national leaders. What message do you have to them now that they are there? They are at the center of it, and the parliament is the biggest is the highest institution of democracy when you look at it, especially in the representation part. What message do you have for them in 2026, looking at the situation that Namibians are facing? But I want you to look into that. Either is where they have to focus, quality of debate. I want you to look into that. What message do you have for them when they are listening, especially when they are going to prepare for Tuesday?
Okay. My message out there to the honorable parliamentarians, especially those in the local and the regional authorities, is that please look onto us. Do not look down onto us by undermining our views.
Because
we are the people using the land. We are using the land, and we are using the land together. Roads. I know when people are up there as top leaders would too much use flights, and they would not even listen too much to those people using the roads. Are now taking up flights from one place to another to address meetings, and then they would just listen to the to my matter or to our matters as a very minor one, because now they are just saying I'm taking up to Europe, I'm taking up to America, I'm taking up to, so it's all about they are not talking about using roads. They are talking about using air, so they would not complain. So please, dear parliamentarian, honorable leaders, I urge you that we are suffering. We cannot catch a lift and then just paying full amount of taxes. But we still have to walk for some distances to go to our places. Just because these potholes and other natural disasters which could be solved when it is dry. So immediately coordinate with your people in the offices who really take our issues, so that you prepare for the budget of such particular maintenance of infrastructure, especially the at this time I'm talking now.
Yes, yes, thank you. You said this, your name is Frederick, right?
You know the old man on the Namibian bill, Hendrik.
Oh, Hendrik, ne? Oh,
yes, you are
captain. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Hendrik. Ne? Yeah.
My name is Hendrik.
Okay, thank you, Hendrik. Thank you for your contribution. And it's a good thing that you are not asking for other things like money. You are not even asking for employment, but you want infrastructure, which is not only for you, but it's quite a very good thing. And we hope they listen. And I'm also supporting you on that. And have a very good day.
Yeah, before you go away, what's your name?
David Shombe.
David who?
David
Shombe.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much indeed for welcoming me on the line.
All right, thank you.
Okay, cheers.
Chap.
Have a good day.
All right.
Have a good day. Hey, okay.
Yeah, we are moving forward. That is Captain Hendrik from the mighty Zambezi region. And he's speaking to parliamentarians to say, you know, when you are on top, sometimes you don't see what is on the ground. And you are busy discussing things of complication in terms of rights, but somebody just wants a gravel road, or somebody just wants to get to work. He's not even asking for money. To say, at least when you are going to that debate, especially that regarding maybe the Ministry of Works and Transport, to say, we may have the best roads in Africa, but they're not in Zambezi. People are speaking about that aspect. So let us look at the views of the caller. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, Shombe.
Yes, how are you?
Good.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Let us look at Parliament. We say we should not blame them. We should not blame them this time, but we have to work with what we have. Even at this point, let us look at what can they do. What do we expect them to do, especially when they are going to open?
I don't know what they are willing to do, but we just remind them.
Yeah.
We say whatever.
Yeah.
What is going on there?
Yeah.
We have an economy to grow.
Yeah.
We have a nation to feed.
Yeah.
We have a country to protect. Of everything. Whatever, wherever engagement.
Repeat that again.
To say,
yeah,
we have an economy to grow.
Yeah.
We have a nation to feed.
Yeah.
Then we have a country to protect. Those are the fundamental things that can be carried. Those are the public values.
Uh-huh.
We all need to carry, including the parliamentarian and everybody in the country.
You should not divert away from that.
You cannot divert away from that. Because you must think that we have an economy to grow.
Uh-huh.
Then you have a nation to feed.
Indeed.
Now you have the country to protect. Now, when you are doing this, you have to carry this public value amid of a international political economy and global market. You understand that the reference is too competitive and the reference. You understand.
But you have to carry that.
You have to go with those. Now, to trim a line to say that, how maybe you are going to get it is, look, you need to know what is good, what you want. What do we want as a country? We want NUMOS to grow our economy.
Mm.
We want to feed our nation.
Yeah.
We also want to protect our country. Now, what is right now? And what is good? Those are three, again, maybe to say, maybe the framework that you need to use.
I think I need to appoint you to teach public sector management some days.
No, no, I refuse.
Yeah,
I study public management.
No, I see.
So now, what is good?
Mm.
What is right?
Mm.
This is the law. Ne?
Yeah.
That's the cycle deal with the law.
Mm.
European law and also international laws now.
Yeah.
Now, what is good? It's what other people want most. You have to strike a balance between all the things.
But now, continue.
Yeah, because you are saying you are not alone, you are not independent. As we always try to project. No.
Mm.
What you are seeking, a sovereignty. You see, a sovereignty is a certain level of ownership that you can now grow your economy, then you are also going to feed your nation and you're going to protect your country.
You now simplify it very well. Can you please talk about cooperation? Because when they go to parliament, they are all our people. Whether we vote B or C, when they go to parliament, they are our people. Can you speak about cooperation? And we want this thing, the agency. We are not seeing the agency also of, fixing things. What is your view on that? Is it really scrutiny, or we are not having that agency in parliament like last year?
No, the thing is, you know, most our people first need, that's what I said. For us to have these things first, there are certain public values that need to be instilled in the mind of everybody, and start at school.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Now you don't see it wrong when the we said it this many times in this platform to say education, not educated and not educated.
Mm-hmm.
To say the problem is to say sometimes you have people who are sitting there who have no clue about lawmaking process, who have nothing, who don't know about governance. You understand?
Mm.
But that is the highest body of a country when it comes to lawmaking process and governance issue. You are dealing with the state governance now. You are combining now. There are those people there, who have no clue at all. But you mix them with academics, those who know governance and everything.
Mm.
But there are those now who just have politics in the mind. But politics deal with division.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you understand it from academic point of view now and governance, and governance is academic, it's not. it's academic because those institutions were academically created.
That's
why you find a lot of strong rhetoric about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at that level now.
Now that we have them, because we have to, if you have bows and arrows and you are going to war, that is what we are going to use. What can be done? Because, you already have them. They can be trained, maybe they can be capacitated, but we need agents because for the next 4 years.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's just an understanding.
Uh-huh.
Because we even in this, refresher water, induction. Courses we give them, like workshops as they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
We need to put at the center the public values of the state. To say here it's a lawmaking process. It has nothing to do with party A, party B, and what.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when even at the local authority level, do you think you need a manifesto? For what? Because the mandate is already given.
Indeed.
To provide you know, recreation facility, you need to correct the revenue, you need whatever.
Mm.
And the scope of revenue, and this is this and this and this. So, what else do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Now you see people come, I know a manifesto. Wait. Oh, it's okay. Because you need the formula how to arrive efficiently to those mandates.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at maybe key priorities, because I know we have a lot of things on the plate. Looking at key priority, which laws do you think they must be prioritized? Maybe the first three that you think this one we cannot live without them, that can able to accelerate our economy.
No, we just need to polish to be focusing on more public policy analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the law, they are important because you cannot see them in an isolation.
No. I'm talking about currently, like in our parliament, because there is a lot of things which are sent to parliament not yet finalized. You have Penga Act. You have the review of the Local Authority Act and all those things. But which one do you think, if
for me, we have to start with education because it's the center of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are going now to structure properly and structure a good balance between what our people knows and what the international politics and economy bring on board.
Mm-hmm.
Because education is the sender. And we say, look, that's why I always say, because there's a gap between indigenous knowledge, the native knowledge, and the model and what the international political economy brought to us.
Mm-hmm.
We need that to start plans. Then also we need to say the literature. We need to concentrate on the most of the literature that need to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
That need to, because remember, there are literature that are not sold in African market.
We still don't have them.
Yeah. Even if you have them, they might not be taught in a university.
Okay, just hold on 1 second. Just hold on.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Hello Namibia! The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 500 grams Rama Original 70% fat spread, only $28.99 each, and 3 kg Polana Elbow Pasta for only $69.99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 8 February 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
Congratulations, you survived January. With USAVE's affordable combo, you're set for February too. For just $599, you can get 10 kilogram of nice parboiled rice, 10 kilogram champion super maize meal, 10 kilograms of Pokoma fed cook flour, 10 kilograms of marathon of brown or white sugar. That's $599 for 4 large bags of essential products. We all save at USAVE.
When life gifts you a washing machine that just quit, take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
Yeah, let us continue.
Yeah, so for me,
yeah,
the main center of everything is just education, man.
Yeah.
Because in education, you have to deal with the issue of the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put the curriculum proper.
Mm.
Then you have to deal with the issue of literature.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to deal with the issue of the, what is this, funding.
So it's an understanding first.
Yeah, it's an understanding first because you need to understand this animal called economy.
it's a big animal. Yeah.
This is what how law because.
No, you are right. It's tough. It looks easy, but it's very tough. It looks like it's just law making, but it's tough.
That's why. We have to get education right first.
Mm.
When it comes to funding,
mm.
I was going to even think it to say, look, I don't know how for you to get maybe not a fee, what loan need, mm. your parents must not earn this or that. I said, no, my friend, education must just free and free and free and free.
Because
you are rich or you are poor,
yeah.
And the fact that education of a child cannot be linked to parents' wealth. Or not worth.
It's a human that right.
That is an individual. Like, because the government of the state has an obligation to each, to every citizen.
It's a human right.
At the end of the day, everybody is going to contribute to the country.
Indeed.
Now you will deny this person an opportunity because of the parents.
I hear you.
That's why we just need a funding model. And Professor Mpanda also opposed a funding model to say, look, can we use a funding model exactly the same as the social security one?
Yeah.
Similar to that.
Yeah.
But here you are going to bring the person, the employees and the employer together to contribute 70% to education.
Yeah, I think that I watched that presentation. Was it last year at Sonane? Yeah, I watched that presentation because we propose free education, but we do not have really. We are still working on the model. Yeah, I see when Professor proposed that I was listening to. But what is a sustainable model too?
A sustainable model is like when you have an employee and the employee contribute.
Uh-huh.
Because you have even these fathers that are not supporting their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are going to support indirectly.
One way or the other.
Because that percentage is going to what? If we do it even for 3 years or 5 years or five, something, but you are going to find that you are going to have what? Even 10 billion there.
Mm-hmm.
Then everyone is benefited. The other thing that we also, with this, think we first time what but as a country you need scientific highly trained people.
Yeah.
You need a lot of people with PhD.
Yeah.
You need scientists. You need professors.
It's true. It's true.
Now you are not funding that level, the highly trained level. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying they should not, but remember everything is funded.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is needed. You just need a proper equilibrium there. Balance.
That is the mathematics that we need.
That is the mathematics.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, because we need to learn, we need to understand what is going on.
Thank you, Lazarus. All right. Yeah. And that is a conversation. And to a parliamentarian, we are not criticizing you, although it's necessary. That is what is being presented. And you mentioned very important thing to say, whatever chaos you are going through, whatever global, waters we are passing through, remember that we have an economy to grow. We have a nation to feed. and the country to protect. And those are fundamental values, actually, of any citizen to say in every aspect of where you are, when you are a public leader, those are things that should guide you. To say you have an economic to grow. What are you doing? If you are not growing the economy, are you feeding the country? If you are not feeding the country, are you protecting the country? Now, if you are not doing these three, what are you doing? And it's quite very clear to say education must be a center of discussion, and free education must be long term. And I've seen when our president have proposed, you know, not proposed, but presented or gave a direction actually of free education. Professor Joba Mpanda stood up and speak about the model. And the president said, no, Job, please clap hands. The education now is free while you are quiet. And it was a very important moment also to see that when you declare free education, then you free the people. Because you don't only give them the lifetime benefits, but it's long term. Now, there was a proposal presented by Job. And I know this, and with and I think we must reach that level of not really to say political maturity, level of saying if you propose something, you are from Nudo, you are from IPC, you are from SWAPO, you are from Wewe. If it's working, it must work for everybody. And I was very angry when parliamentarians got into the debate. I think it's 1 year ago. There was a proposal of no tax to pens, pens, yeah, no tax to, no sanitary pens, sorry, no pens, no, no tax to sanitary pens. And one parliamentarian stood up and said, no, that was my proposal, you stole my idea, that was my thing, I should get credit. But that should not be the case. If the thing is working for everybody, whether you are the one who started it or it was implemented by who, you don't need to score political points there. You are doing it for the country. No, it's who started this. I said, what? That should not be the level. To say, if we find a funding model, maybe the one proposed by Professor Mpanda is not working. Maybe it should be, we should add something on top of that. Then it's going to be easy. Unlike you have something, but little input that you have, then you end up, you know, not succeeding. Because the success of Namibian Parliament is the success of everybody. If we sort out the law, we sort out the funding. If we sort out the funding, we sort out the accountability model. If we sort out that, then we sort out our institution. Now the ACC term is coming to an end, and we see what the recommendation of Parliament is going to be. Are we going to extend the Director General's, you know, term? Are we going to find another one? Who is that going to be? And just put it in your mind, who do you think is the best candidate in Namibia for a DG, for Anti-Corruption Commission? Who is the best candidate there? Because sometimes we may discuss that, you know, people have been crying that Noah must go. Yes, that Noah's term is coming to an end. Who is going to take that responsibility? And I think one day I was thinking to say, look, it requires a character of a person to head such an institution. Even a PG position is not an easy position. Not everybody, you don't just need to be a best lawyer or a best prosecutor. You must have a thick skin, because that is, those are institutions which are holding the country together. Let's see the role of Parliament, how it's going to work it out. Let us also see the amendment of if they are going to amend the ACC, because I remember I was having a conversation with Miss Josephina into a matter at that time of when she was a spokesperson of anti-corruption. I said, no, look, the funding model is also the problem. And you also look at the burden of ACC and the boundaries that that the act is having. Now you have parliamentarians who are complaining about anti-corruption is not doing their job, its job. Amend that act, add, and make sure that you give strength to that, give teeth to ACC. Then we sort out a lot of things, even the funding model. Because if you look at our budget now, Anti-Corruption is the least, Anti-Corruption Commission is the least funded institution among all other institutions. I think it's 116 million, if I'm not mistaken. Least funded. But everything happened. Anti-corruption is not working. Let's see what Parliament is going to do. Because remember, it's also contradictory, because if you are the highest institution of democracy, which is holding accountable other institutions too, you must present high level of authenticity and also transparency. Because those who understand politics, if you give all the power to ACC, they come and pick you up anytime. But remember the time when the well-known professor of Pan-Africanism, Patrick Lumumba, when he was at one point a director of, go and read that story. He was at one point a director of Anti-Corruption Commission in Kenya. And that guy just I think few months in the office, he wanted to go for the big guys. There was a point, I think Ruth was the vice president by then. They were forced to resign. He wanted to arrest, I don't know if he's the vice president or the prime minister, but he wanted to arrest one of them. They said, no. This guy is becoming too dangerous, too powerful. But when you look at that line of work, he wanted to do his job properly. Because at one point he was a director of ACC in Kenya. And look at the character and the quality of Prof. Lumumba. Because sometimes we may cry for fairness, but we are not fair. I may cry to say, no, put somebody who is competent in ACC, somebody who do what. I made the act, you expand the funding, then you have best investigative analyst, you have not only Tate Inambao, you have the Kanyangera them, they train these young ones, then good fundings that their investigators are not taken by financial institution anymore because of payment. Then you see changes that will happen. Then we are putting ourselves in order. We are not even going to be taught, but it has to start with a lawmaking house to say, are we seeing the problem? Are we protecting the state? Yes, let's move forward and come back.
The future is calling. Are you ready to answer?
Applications for NAS 2026 are still open, offering you new exciting programs designed for tomorrow's world.
Step into innovation with the Bachelor of Artificial Intelligence. Advance your expertise with Data Science Honours. Protect the digital world through information security, or uncover the truth with Digital Forensics Honours.
And for the visionary leaders and researchers, NAST offers a PhD in Management Sciences and a PhD in Supply Chain Management.
Here's the best part. The government-subsidized tertiary funding model enables eligible first-time undergraduate students to register for primary undergraduate programs without paying registration fees. The government-subsidized tertiary funding model enables eligible first-time undergraduate students to register for primary undergraduate programs without paying registration fees.
That means free tuition for first-time undergraduate students in Namibia.
This is your chance to study at a world-class university, gain future-ready skills, and invest in your success without the burden of tuition fees.
Applications to the Namibia University of Science and Technology are closing soon. Apply now and take the next step in your academic journey. For more information, visit our official website and follow us on our social media platforms. NUST, reinventing the future.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's the best time to be alive in Namibia. It's the best time to be alive. And, subsidized education. You just need to pass your grade 11 and the AS level. Then you can study to the university of your choice. And with what was stated here at NUST, do a degree, data science, artificial intelligence, and also actuarial science. And there is something that is offered with Stellenbosch, I think, is future studies. Because what is interesting about future studies is you're looking at how do you solve problems in the future. How are you going to deal with data in the future? How are you going to deal with planning for the future? How are you going to deal with institutions And it's quite important to look at what is needed, not only in the market, but what can you do? Because now people are studying artificial intelligence. It's not only about AI, but it's about understanding the in-depth of AI. It's not only about people only, when they speak about AI, they only speak about ChatGPT or what is called all this online, you know, self-assistance app. But it's more complicated than that. Artificial intelligence can be used cutting across. Even it's making engineering process easy. It's making financial sector easy. This thing of programming, these things of data analysis too. When you understand artificial intelligence, it's cutting across. Then you also look at actuarial science. If those who pass must not be scared of becoming the first professionals in that area, particularly from Namibia, because the issue of skills should not be the problem. Then we are going to, from now, education. Then we are going to deal with the main elephant in the room. To say, that elephant, how are we going to eat it off? Now you have educated, now we are going to place them. Because you have already thousands and thousands of educated in the market. Now you build institutions. How are we going to build institutions? We build institutions when we capacitate entrepreneurs, when we capacitate domestic business persons. Because these are the only people that are going to stay. Because if up to now we do not have an internationally competitive company since independence, we must be concerned. But in the US every day, in South Africa also, they establish international competitive companies. In Rwanda they did that. Even in Zimbabwe they have that. International competitive companies. But we must also be concerned if we do not have internationally competitive domestic or domestic owned companies that compete internationally. A Namibian company that has a headquarter, in Namibia, but it has a branch in Beijing. Then it has another branch in New York. Then there's another one in UK. Then it has a logistic hub coming from Djibouti in Nigeria. Then you understand that if we are not yet at that level, we must be concerned. That's why apart from education, we must also be able to invest in domestic businesses, talents, so that these people can able to build industries. And I was also happy to see the Ministry of ICT indicating their funding for firms, firms in terms of movies and others, 20 of them identified, which is a very good thing to say. We must diversify those sectors to say, if we are not like Saudi Arabia, who can negotiate an international company to its advantage, who can also negotiate for 1 month and be able to get Aramco into its to its corner, own it 100%. If we cannot negotiate, we understand that it will take us long for us to own 50% of our own uranium, because we are not yet at 5% ownership of that. Yeah, in some mines, I don't know about the new one. If we cannot be able to do that, let us build other industries. But that only happens if we have effective lawmakers, we have effective negotiators, and we have effective people who understand the key principle things. And today I'm going to be guided by this beautiful principles too that are presented to say, you do whatever else happening, make sure that you have economic to grow, a nation to feed, and also a state to protect. So yeah, that is the conversation. You can engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Let us look at the Villager newspaper for today. What is on top of the Villager newspaper for today? And we'll be able also to look at what is inside, because it's not only about economic news, it's also about the business. And we also look at who is advertising with the Villager newspaper. Then we also look at our economic brief or industrial brief. Then we'll be able to look at the page for International University of Management, and also the sale which is there, especially it's month end. And other business such as YouSave are saying, if you can survive January, you can survive anything. But let us look at a short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation for today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
us. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi itayo loka. Okwene ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and it's 41 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are looking at what is that we have in our e-paper for today. On top of the Villager newspaper for today, there is rice production requires government intervention, and stated that consumers spend almost $500 million on imports of rice. And I need to read this article, especially when we want to address food security in Namibia. We may speak about food security. We may speak about want to feed the nation. This in line with our principles for today. Say we have an economic to grow. We have a nation to feed and a state to protect. And I think those will be our principles moving forward. And for you to feed the nation, you must understand what do you need to feed them with, especially in terms of rice production. According to the Namibia International Mercantile Trade Statistic Bulletin released by Namibia Statistic Agency for November 2025, the country imported rice valued 421 million for the period of November 2024 to November 2025. Now, look into this context. Read this article by my colleague Lois Shimi. Then you'll be able to understand the production and understand what the consumers are saying, what the farmers are saying, especially looking at the need for intervention to say, if you spend almost half a billion in importing of rice, what are you doing with projects that you have? What are you doing with your green schemes that you have? Because until we get all those data, the conversation about the green scheme should not stop. You must scream until you get the data to see how many bags of maize, how much rice you have produced, and how are you going to feed your people. Yeah. Page 3, you find application. Find application for University of Namibia. Application for University of Namibia. Get the University of Namibia website and apply. Application for 2026. It stated that it is extended. It is extended. Visit University of Namibia and apply. And the interesting thing is that they have on point application and also admission when you go with all your documents. And this time, for those of you who are coming from high school, you don't need a statement of results, because they will be able to access the system of Ministry of Education, and you'll be able to get that opportunity to work, or I mean to study at the University of Namibia, and become a responsible citizen who is contributing to the Namibian development and also to the happiness of Namibia, and also defend the country. So, page 4, you'll be able to find out that there's an article there by David Shombe that is looking at Afrexim Bank, or Africa Import and Export Bank, showed Fitch Rating Agency a door.
At ShopRite, we're helping you make your money go further with our wide range of back-to-school savings. Save big on essentials like 72-page A4 College Feint and Margin Exercise Book for just $4.99, 80 GSM 250 Sheets Typek A4 Photostat Paper for only $54.99, and 2x40g Stadler Glue Stick Value Pack for a low $39.99. Valid until 8 February 2026. Shop more back-to-school savings only at ShopRite.
And to look at Afrexim Bank showing a Fitch Rating Agency at dawn. For more detail, we expand that on page 4 to say Africa has also decided to come up with their own rating agencies and to save themselves money, especially regarding rating, because this rating defines how much you are earning and how much you get from international and also domestic investors. And you can also be able to see and listen from the perspective of economists, what are the economists saying about sending these people home, sending international rating agencies home to say thank you very much. Although you have been doing your work very well, you are not in line with African values. We also have now our own rating agency, especially when it comes to finance, when it comes to assets of risk, and moving forward. Looking at page 5, you can be able to read an article by Hinomela Vari that is looking at electrifying a rural household costs between 80,000 to 300,000, and households are aged to go for solar. And read that aspect, because I've seen and I've observed at one point somebody went to retirement and his whole retirement just to put electricity at home. then you are not able to fund that. You are not able to put on, or you are not able to use it, because all the money that you have used for retirement, you put them in electricity. Imagine electrifying a household in rural area costing between 80,000 to 300,000. Is it a transformer? Is it the wiring? Is it the engineering part? Or is it the distance? What is the problem? Read and get the contents of that newspaper, especially the Villager newspaper of today, page 5. Then you'll be able to understand the necessity of electricity and also the necessity of renewable electricity such as solar, especially powering a household in the rural area, because the rural area in most cases, particularly where you find the majority of people are working in town, the rural area electricity is for only light and cooking, and maybe if you have some project work at home. But in most cases, it's only about cooking, light, and charging. Unless you really have an EV, but charging of phones or using of television does not really cost much. But installing it is what is going to cost this amount of money. That is why it's necessary to look into that aspect. Now, looking at page 6, there is Ongwendiva Achievers Private Center there that is offering additional classes, and those students who did not make it, you will be assisted to obtain better grade 11 results. And this center is accredited, the tutorial and exam center, by the Ministry of Education. It's accredited by the Ministry of Education, and get the opportunity. And parents, make sure that your learners, your children, get an opportunity to improve at Ongwediva Achievers Private Center. And subject offered, you have English, second language, Oshindonga, your biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, and entrepreneurship and accounting. Get the opportunity and study and improve your subject, because it's not late when others are going to university. The very interesting thing about being young is that there is nothing which is more stressful than seeing other people going to vocational training, going to university, while you did not reach your requirements. But what is very interesting is that they actually did not go anywhere, because life will catch up with all of us. That's why there is this thing to say, there is nobody who is ahead, there is nobody who is behind. It depends on what you do, because somebody that you think is ahead of you, and you just go to Ongwediva Achievers to improve your subjects, even for 2 years, you will still catch up. Let us not be in this rush of looking at others. Look at other kid. And I'm always somebody who does not believe in that thing to say, when somebody is succeeding, doesn't mean that you are failing. No, David, look at other children. They are getting married. I say, wait, I have my game. I'm going to get married also. Not now, not tomorrow, not next year, but definitely. Or somebody is already done with the vocational training education. This person is doing for 3 years. Maybe I'm studying for 8 years. But that is life. But what is necessary is that, are you putting on efforts to get the way you need to get into? Because some parents, they disown their children when they fail grade 11. So now you are useless. You are just a hungry guy. You are just in the street. You become a chotzi. And this is demotivating children. But when you have an opportunity like this, a tutorial center, get the opportunity and, you know, go and study. Because time is always there. When somebody is on top, that could be what they reach, but you'll be on top too. But yeah, that is found at page 6. And looking at page 7, there's an article there by Mati Ansangala, that is looking at the global economy resilient amid trade disruption. That is stated by IMF to say, apart from trade, on top of disruption, global economy continue to be resilient. What is very interesting is also that conflict maintained for a very long time, people will find a way to move through that. People find new trade routes, people find new trade partners. People were shocked when Canada is indicating to say, China is a good friend now to talk to. The question is, compared to who? You will tell me. And we see Prime Minister of Britain is also visiting China to say Xi Jinping is quite a good guy. You realize to say, when you start starving people for a very long time, they find a way to eat. Because alliance of the West, it was not only based on geographical common history, but also based on interest to say, when Britain realized to say, no, the US, the way you are operating in your business is not sustainable. You are disrupting the economy, you are disrupting the trade routes. Now you want to take out Greenland. I think it's now the time, so we move to China too. Then in this whole movement and whole realignment, you realize to say, at some point, disruption will not be for a very long time because country will find a way to continue trading. Because it's the same. When Russia was sanctioned, moved to the east, then they come up with de-dollarization process under BRICS to say we need to de-dollarization and we have to stand on our own financial system. Now, last year, the growth of countries within Shanghai organization, the economy grow outperform even the prediction of IMF, all those countries beyond 4%. Then you need to read this article, get content, and understand what's happening. So looking at our industrial briefs, is that the investor continue to fight for treasury bills. Get that content and read. And the other brief also on Benguinduk ATMs now accepting new notes. New money can now accept it by Benguinduk ATMs. That is quite a positive development. And the other industrial briefs is also looking at Namibia has over 200 distinct ecosystem types. And get content and read, especially from an environmental point of view. And we have an opinionated paper, Principles to Consider When Venturing into Farming. There are golden rules, and it's always good to read from the experts. There are golden rules that need to be considered, especially when it comes to farming. Read the content of Hanks Sai Sai article. And the page of International University of Management, we always have an article, particularly looking at the leading private university in Namibia. In this success story in Namibia, and maybe, I think, maybe to be the first private institution to compete internationally. Maybe to be the first private institution to compete internationally because its growth and expansion inspired a lot of Namibians. Because a lot of people did not think IUM is owned by a Namibian. But it's a very beautiful thing to see Namibian businesses standing and producing professionals because it's competitive and it's productive. And it's always good to read the products of International University of Management to say, where are these graduates? If you go to the banks, if you go to different industry, you go to IT, you go to schools, you see them performing. And you go to South Africa, went to international, they are there in international institution doing great. So read that page and move forward. Page 11 of the Villager newspaper. You'll also be able to find, it's a sale of your new safe. Have a real good chicken there at 199 You have King Fresh Poroni. And I think my colleague Francina would love this one. And get time and also buy nice rice. I think nice rice is now, which is, those who are cooking, they love nice rice now. Nice rice at 5 kg, just $89.99. You find Super Maize Meal there at $104.99. The whole 10 kg. And many more. So get time, get an opportunity. So that when you read the Villager newspaper, you don't only get economic news, you also get opportunity to get opportunities to study and also to improve, you know, your finance and also get sales so that when you survive January, ShopRite said you can survive anything. Get the time to read that. And our golden words today is to say to our parliamentarians who are going to start with their job on Tuesday, we wish them strength and power, and also to remain focused on the goal, and to expand that debate, to intensify that debate, and also understand that when the Prime Minister was stating to say dust must be seen, I'm always indicating to say we don't even need to see dust, we must not see, we must be in the dust, all of us. Dust must be everywhere. It must be dusty. So that it is not only dust in a bad way. Dust is seen in terms of expanding our industry, in terms of building too. And the golden words today is that understand these principles, that you have an economy to grow. You have a nation to feed. And you have a country to protect. Guided by those principles, whatever challenges you are faced as a parliamentarian, I think if you can able to give us those three, then it's easier for us to move forward as a country. And that will bring us to the end of our conversation. Thank you to those who contributed to the conversation. And continue listening to Eagle FM Namibia. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around and sharp. I'm leaving you in the good hands of with a big mic to unpack the day.